Welcome to Switzerland in Sound, produced and presented by Bob Zanotti.
Well, as you probably know, Switzerland is a multilingual country. Four national languages, German, French, Italian, and Romansh. English is widely spoken. It is not a national language, but it is perhaps in a way a national language in the sense that it is widely spoken by many people. You can use English anywhere. A tourist will not have any problem, any difficulty. Even in the so-called wilds of the Emmental or in the mountains, you'll always find someone who can speak English, who can understand what it is you need. But English, believe it or not, is also a very important literary language in this country. As though we don't have enough trouble with the four national languages, we add English to the lot. And we're talking here about English language literature. And I want to say from the very beginning, we're talking about English language. And if I say English, I don't mean British. If I mean British, I'll say British. But the English language literature comes from all over the English-speaking world, as we know. And our studio guest today, who knows an awful lot about this field, is Barbara Hum. She is a buyer and in charge of sales and marketing of English books at the OLF company in Fribourg. Now, Barbara, you are German-Swiss, but as we'll hear, your English is absolutely flawless. We'll talk about that later on. Your job every day is to buy books, to look over the market, to import them into Switzerland, and indirectly distribute them, sell them to consumers on the other side. The obvious first question here, Barbara, is how big, really, is the English language book market in Switzerland?
Very big, actually. I think if you take figures, must be around 15 to 16, 17 million Swiss francs worth a market.
And how many books is that a year? Can you keep track?
No, I can't keep track of that.
How does that compare with the market for the domestic languages, the national languages?
That would be perhaps between 10 and 20%.
Which is
substantial. It's very substantial.
Of course, the foreign population of Switzerland is about 20%, but they're not all English language speakers, of course.
No, a lot of them are pupils, actually. We sell an awful lot of school books, ELT, English language teaching books, from various ELT publishers.
To the Swiss themselves.
To the Swiss themselves, to the schools, through the bookshops, to the schools. There are also an awful lot of people who used to live abroad in English-speaking countries, have come back and try to keep up their English in reading in English, or people who speak enough English, like you said before, there people do speak well English, who don't want to wait for the translation and will buy the original.
It takes a certain amount of courage to read a book in another language, even if you speak it well. You have to really be devoted to it. I mean, you have to commit yourself to reading it. And what you're saying, it seems to me, is that many, many native Swiss people are committed enough to take on a book in the English language. It's almost a bit surprising because there's so much literature in the native languages available.
Yeah, I think so. There are a lot of people who do read. It's not always the very, very upmarket literature. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of thrillers. Romance is a very big market. So it doesn't take that much. If you are able to speak a bit of English, you can read quite a lot.
What about the breakdown of man, woman, age, educational background? Have you been able to do much research into that?
I think there'd be more women reading than men, especially fiction, literary fiction. Men tend to read a lot of science books, technical books, a lot less fiction, and then schools.
That's the so-called technical market,
yes.
The non-fiction market.
Exactly.
Can you quantify that? I mean, how much is fiction, how much is non-fiction?
Ooh, that's very difficult. I think it's probably half-half if you count ELT with it.
Mm-hmm. What we've had, of course, in the last few years is a tremendous increase in the importance and popularity of, for example, computers, informatics, this huge field. And there's so much technical literature available, especially from the United States, the land of the computer. Have you felt this, actually, in your sales figures, that there's a lot of interest in this field of computers and informatics?
There is a lot of interest, but sales are actually quite stable at the moment because a lot of books are translated more or less at the same time, so there's no need to go for the English book, for the English original. They buy the German version or the French version. It's mainly the upmarket, the very, very scientific books, which we do sell in English language.
There they want the original.
Exactly.
Or there's no translation,
exactly,
as you were going to say. Incidentally, where are these people located? Can you focus in on a place, I think, for example, of Geneva, this huge international city in French Switzerland, of course, the United Nations, the specialized agencies. I would think first of Geneva as being perhaps the biggest potential market, but is that true?
I think Zurich is actually the biggest market for English books.
The biggest city is the biggest market?
Yes, I think so. I think so. And probably the reason is because in Geneva, a lot of people travel quite regularly in and out and don't buy all their books here. While in Zurich, I think people are staying there. They don't go out every week or every month. I think that makes a big difference.
Let's take a look at the books themselves. There's one thing, we were talking about trends in books, and we'll be discussing this later too, but there's one thing that caught my eye in many of the Swiss bookshops in the native languages, especially in German, it seems to me. There has been a huge explosion in the popularity of New Age and esoteric books in the last few years. And when I was in North America not too long ago, I was in bookshops in Canada and in the United States, and I literally passed row after row after row, shelf after shelf of New Age books. But I was surprised to find out that this popularity of New Age books in the English-speaking world itself has not been reflected so much in your sales figures here in Switzerland. Any idea why not?
No, it hasn't reflected at all, actually. I think it's probably because the market is saturated with the French books and the German books. And if you take all the expatriates, English-speaking expatriates, and take only the percentage who do read New Age books, you're down to very, very little.
They can be very hard reading, I guess, and if, in that case you want it in your native language, probably.
I think they probably are. I'm no big fan of esoteric books, I must admit, but I think most people would go for the German or the French version.
And perhaps the expats who are here, business type, more hard-nosed, and none of that nonsense for me.
Quite likely. Also a lot of people from the embassies, and I don't think they're too much
They've
into
got other
the
problems
esoteric.
On their
exactly.
mind. What about the nationality, if I could use that word, the nationality of the English language books that are most in demand in Switzerland? What is the biggest country of origin?
It's definitely the UK.
I'm surprised when you consider the output from the U.S. It's such a giant market there, and so much is coming out on the market. But you say the U.K. Any good reason for that?
Yes, I think the biggest reason is we are culturally much closer to the U.K. than we are to the U.S.
Whether the Britons like it or not, it's Europe. It's closer
exactly.
anyway.
Exactly. It is closer. It is definitely much closer. And you see it in the covers as well.
Mm.
It's completely different.
What criteria do you use in choosing a book?
The biggest criteria is how known is the author. Do people go into the bookshops and ask for somebody? How big is the marketing behind an author, behind a book? Because that influences immensely the sales.
How likely is it to sell?
Yeah, exactly.
Mm. Who is being asked for these days? What are the leading authors of the moment?
Oh, it's the ever John Grisham. Like all the time, Judy Blume is coming with a new book. All the big thriller authors, the new Tom Wolfe, which we sold like hundreds of. And it's the big, big names who are in the New York Times, who are in San Francisco Times, everywhere.
So if you look at the bestseller list in a leading US or UK city, it's reflected pretty well here.
The top three or four, yes, and then it gets a bit difficult.
Incidentally, are there any English language authors you know of who are actually living and working in Switzerland?
There are a few visiting. There are a few living, Peter Ustinov, who lives outside Lausanne, overlooking the lake, nice panorama.
And his grapevines and his dog breeding.
He enjoys life, I think, there.
He seems to, yes.
He's very often here. Also, some of his books take place in Switzerland, like his new one, who will take place in Geneva. there are people like Jean-Luc Carré, who used to study in Bern.
Yeah, he lived here, didn't he?
He lived here, yes. He still visits every year Switzerland. He comes by.
Switzerland is, of course, a common venue mentioned in many works by many authors, even if they don't know Switzerland that well. It seems to have the carryover from the Cold War intrigue or the post-Second World War, the neutral country, a lot of shady characters hanging out here, and they keep coming back, especially in espionage and mystery. But is it really, it's not the Switzerland of today, is it?
Oh, no.
It's based on the recollections of these authors that go back quite a few years.
Exactly. I think a lot of it is also clichés that do come from books as well.
People seem to like clichés, though.
Yes, so do. Yeah, everybody does.
Is there any native English language literature written here, which is actually also published in this country?
There is very, very little. There are a few authors who have their own publishing houses, who do publish their own books or publish books from friends or make contacts they made afterwards. It's very, very difficult to publish English books in Switzerland for the Swiss market. There are a few people living here who have American publishers and who probably take 50 or 100 copies back home here and sell them to friends and relatives, but it's very little.
What about prices? I remember it was always said in the past that English books sold in Switzerland were more expensive than the same titles bought abroad. And some people said, you're better off just getting on a cheap flight to London for the weekend, go to Foyle's bookshop and buy them up because you'll save so much more, so much money. That's not true anymore, is it?
No, that's definitely not true anymore. The markups have become very, very small. Probably thanks to competition in the market, thanks to e-markets, the internet sales.
The e-commerce, yeah, through the internet.
Yes, e-commerce,
yeah.
Thank you. Yeah. Markups have become very, very, very small.
This is a difficult question, again, remembering that Switzerland is not an English-speaking country. I mean, not legally anyway. It's not a national language. If we look at the titles that you have in stock in Fribourg, mm-hmm. what you're importing, how big, how rich is the selection of English language literature that you can offer compared to a well-stocked, not the biggest, not the smallest, but the average well-stocked bookshop in an average U.S., Canadian, Australian, or British city?
I think you can very well compare it. We have most bestsellers, most books who are talked about at the moment, we stock. If we don't stock it, we will get it for you, or that your bookshop will get it for you through us. The world has become so small, you can get anything, really, which you want. And if you take the big bookshops, the specialist bookshops, like Stauffacher in Bern, Sterli Zurich, or Bayeux Chantepoulin in Geneva, the range of books they have is definitely comparable with mid-sized bookshops in English-speaking countries.
And these organizations, these shops you mentioned, actually have either specific English corners in the large shops or actually an English bookshop,
exactly.
A separate entity, for example, in Bern.
Exactly.
Yeah. And it's also a cultural meeting point, isn't it? I know, for example, Stauffacher in Bern, I'm sure there are others in other cities, where people go to meet socially, to hear readings, visiting authors, talk to visiting authors. There is quite a lively English literature scene in this country.
Very much so, very much so. People meet and exchange ideas, exchange the names of new authors they've read. It's very much a meeting point.
We have an event coming up in April, I believe it's always in April, in Geneva. It's the Geneva Book Fair, which is a very important book fair, certainly in Switzerland. How does it compare internationally in terms of its importance?
It's not that big like the big international book fairs like London or Frankfurt, the biggest in the world. It's nothing like it. For Switzerland, it is the important book fair, but it is a public book fair where people can go look at books, buy books. Other fairs like London or Frankfurt are just for professionals, industry professionals. So for Switzerland, it is a very important fair.
Now, OLF is there just about every year. I think a couple of years ago, I met you and we did an interview there before at the mm-hmm. English book section of OLF. And I'm just wondering if we look now to what you're beginning to put together, what do you have in mind? What trends can you see? What kind of an assortment or offer are you going to present in Geneva?
It's going to be very much like a bookshop. a little bit of everything. A big part will be fiction, mass market paperbacks. There will be non-fiction books like atlases. We also will remainder some books, so if you want some cheap books, come and have a look. There will be illustrated books. We try to show the range that we can offer and also the range publishers have.
We haven't mentioned children's books. Mm-hmm. I assume that you do have an assortment of children's books too.
We do have an assortment, although it's not that big. We seem to have difficulties with children books. We have more illustrated picture books. And then as soon as at the age of 10, we seem to lose the readers. They probably go to French language books or German language books.
One of the native languages, the local
yes.
languages. Well, it sounds like what you're offering in English, in terms of English literature, is like a good medium-sized supermarket. It's got a bit of everything in there.
That's right, exactly that.
I have to ask you this question. As we've heard now, your English is fantastic, and you are a native German-Swiss. You're from the canton of Aargau.
Yes.
How did you pick up such good English?
Well, the basics I picked up at school, obviously, and then I went to Ireland and spent some time in Ireland shepherding sheep.
Good place to shepherd sheep.
Good place to learn English. and also traveled a lot, traveled around Australia, New Zealand for a year, got many friends all over the world, English speaking, and I read in English, which helps my vocabulary.
You are a genuine reader yourself. You don't just
yes.
work in the field, you actually read.
I read.
Well, it's been fascinating to hear about all the literature available in the English language in Switzerland, who the people are reading it, and something about your problems, Barbara Hum, in sorting it all out for us. And actually, I guess book readers, English literature readers, are certainly happy that someone acts as a filter to bring in only the best into the country. Otherwise,
so.
Time is limited to do it yourself. Thank you very much for coming by mid-morning.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Switzerland has probably the densest public transport system in the world. Trains, buses, trams, streetcars, they're running all over the place all the time. But still, many visitors to Switzerland prefer to see the country with their own private car. For those people, we have some advice for you, and it comes from the best source we can think of. With us on Switzerland in Sound is Stefan Müller, who is with the Touring Club of Switzerland, the TCS. Here we are in the Swiss capital, Bern, which is the headquarters, although you'll find TCS offices in most major Swiss cities. Seeing Switzerland by car. Mr. Müller, first of all, what are the essential regulations for driving in this country if you are a foreign visitor?
If you're a foreign visitor, you would have to be 18 years old. If you rent the car, some of the rental firms know a regulation that you're not allowed to rent a car under the age of 21 or 23. Depends on the firm, but it's wise to check this before you're leaving with your automobile association or any travel agent.
Now, there are the so-called international driver's licenses, which are issued by national clubs. Are they required in Switzerland, or can you just use a valid national license, your normal license?
You can use your normal license here.
But there are things that are certainly peculiar to Europe, and certainly we have to look at in Switzerland. Every country has its peculiarities. As a general rule, cars coming from the right have the right of way. Trams, in other words, streetcars, and also pedestrians beginning to cross a street have got the right of way. You must stop for them. Finally, the thing which I sometimes have problems with myself, the sudden merges. You come to an intersection and you'll see two arrows on the road and they're both indicating straight ahead, and then after 50, 75, 100 meters, suddenly you're merged into the other lane unexpectedly. You have to be ready for this kind of thing.
On the motorway especially, I really advise you not to stay on the fast lane because our drivers are kind of impatient.
And fast.
Fast as well, yeah. Yes.
And they're used to people moving over. If you're in a left lane and you see someone coming up, you'd better get over, especially if they warn you with flashing lights. That means I'm not intending to stop. I'm expecting you to move over.
Oh, yes, you're right. And, well, it's not a gentlemanlike behavior, but it's a fact.
God forbid, of course, we don't wish this on anyone, but what should happen in the event of an accident? How do you deal with the police? How do you comport yourself?
Well, there is an emergency number, and if you have the mobile, then dial 112. And if you just forget it, even 140, the breakdown assistance of the Touring Club Switzerland would help you and contact the police. Move your car to the right if you can, and there is an emergency triangle in the car. Make sure that you put it behind your car at some distance.
And of course, in Switzerland, people are required to administer any first aid that they can if someone is injured. Certainly contact the authorities through the emergency number, and if necessary, to do what you can to help the person who might be injured. That's the absolute first priority in an accident. What about ordinary breakdown situations? I know the TCS has an excellent network of yellow patrol cars. These are first class, top-rate mechanics, and they can fix an awful lot of things right on the spot or tell you if necessary.
Simply call 140, say clearly where you are so they can find you. Avis or Hertz, for example, or any other firm, there's a phone number in the car, kind of emergency number. Call them and everything will be organized to help you.
There are certain times of the peak periods, of vacation periods in Europe, where it's difficult getting around because there are so many more cars on the road. We have these classic traffic jams around the Gotthard Tunnel. It's a bottleneck.
Tunnel is a bottleneck indeed, and so I advise them not to drive through there during Easter Whitsuntime or the peak periods during summer holidays.
Go over the top. The great classic Gotthard Pass is a wonderful alternative. You see a lot more too.
Or what's an alternative route is the San Bernardino Pass in the Grisons, that's eastern Switzerland, which is also nice.
Otherwise, there's an excellent car conveyance from Bern on the Interlaken Road. Bern-Interlaken is a turn off to Kandersteg, or if you're coming from the south, you go up above the Rhone Valley Road to Goppenstein, and you can actually put your car on a special flat car train, and you sit in the car. It takes 10 minutes to get through the Lutschberg Tunnel, and also the Simplon Pass itself is a wonderful way to get to and from Italy. And then I think of the Great St. Bernard, which is another alternative route. One tip for those who do care about what they spend for fuel. Switzerland has, I think, among the cheapest gasoline in Europe, but it still is something like $4 a gallon. And don't go to the filling stations on the superhighways, on the expressways, because they're always more expensive. Better to go off the exit and into a local town, right?
Yes, I advise that, because filling your tank, topping it on the motorway, costs you 10 cents more per liter.
And there's something else on Swiss highways. There are no toll stations. But if you're using the superhighways, you have to have a sticker on your windshield that's called locally a vignette, or it's just a sticker. And you can get these basically anywhere. I think a rental car will already have them as a rule, but if you're coming with your own private car, you have to pick these up when you enter the country. It's really not a problem. The current price is 40 Swiss francs. But don't be riding on the highway without it, because there's quite a handsome fine. Plus, you have to buy the sticker as well.
Yes, there's a fine of 100 francs plus the sticker. You can get the sticker right entering Switzerland at the customs, and they are happy to sell you one. And it's valid for 1 year. Talking of fees, of course, parking in the cities can be quite costly. The closer you are to the center, the more you pay.
And very often looking for public parking is very difficult in Swiss cities. In fact, if you're really not sure how to get around in a lot of the big cities, it might be well advised to use the park and ride system, where you park your car outside the dense congested areas, go in by train or by bus, and you have public transport will take you everywhere you want to go. You have daily tickets, for example, flat rate tickets on a daily basis, and it probably comes out a lot cheaper than paying some of the parking fees in town. And again, if you don't know how to get around, if you're not used to driving inside very crowded European streets, you'd be better off taking the train in, right?
Yes, you're right, because all of a sudden you see a tram, you don't know how to handle this situation, and it's a shock to drive in our cities, and there's so many single one-way roads actually that you get lost easily. So
it's a headache.
Yeah, it's a headache. And use the tram or the bus or walk.
Good advice from Stefan Müller of the Touring Club of Switzerland, the TCS. But I think, Mr. Müller, finally, it is a very good idea to know before you go. If you're coming from overseas, contact your local or your national motoring agency or club, and they'll have a lot of good, solid recommendations and information for you before you come to Switzerland.
They can even give you a map, or contact a travel agent. He knows a lot about Switzerland. Or once you are in Switzerland, just go to the closest tourist office. They know everything about all Switzerland.
Stefan Müller, TCS, here in Bern, the Swiss Federal Capital, thanks very much for being with us, telling us about how to enjoy Switzerland by car. For Switzerland in Sound, this is Bob Zanotti.
If you want more information about Switzerland in Sound, check them out online at www.switzerlandinsound.com.
Hi, this is Bob Zanotti. Do you miss Swiss Radio International? If so, I invite you to visit my website, SwitzerlandInSound.com. Colorful and informative radio features about Switzerland, its destinations, interesting people, politics, culture, and even the two Bobs, SwitzerlandInSound.com, where English language radio from Switzerland lives on.